We're so glad to have Pastor Ted delivering the word today, and so we're going to turn it over to Ted.
Ted, can you guys hear me fine? I had somebody ask me a little bit ago about, see if you could turn the mic up, because I can't hear real well today, so I'm hoping that I did say something about that. No, that person knows who they are, but it's an honor to get to come up here to help Pastor Aaron. He was supposed to be gone. He's usually gone when I get to do this. But I get blessed today to have him here. And Kelly, we will go till 12:30 today if you're watching. But just on a funny note. If you don't know me, my name is Ted Smith. I'm the kids' pastor downstairs. And every now and then, Pastor Aaron has me come up and speak. And it is an honor to come up here and speak with you. I love what I do. I have the best job in this church, I believe. And that's with your kids. And I enjoy what I do. I know our teachers enjoy what they do, and they pour into your kids. And if they're not, I find out, and I'll let them know. But I want to do something different today. A lot of you know I'm an emotional guy, and that's not nothing new. But when one of my kids is hurting, I hurt. Marie Bennett is Tristan's stepmom. And I heard some things today, and I won't share with you, but things that broke my heart today. And there's no better place to be in than in this place. I know God hears your prayers when we're outside the church, but when the church is together, we are so much stronger. But if you would stand up with me. Thank you. As we were worshiping, the Holy Spirit told me, Murray, that God's going to bring him out. Amen. And we need to stand on that. Because if we don't stand on this, we got nothing to stand on. So I just want to pray and let you know that we are behind you with prayer. I see miracles happening all the time with these guys right here in this front row. Their son is going through a battle that I would want nothing to do with. But when I see Ethan's post on Facebook, you guys, I see what your prayers have done. And God's word stand, like we can stand on that and what it says. And if we bring our petitions to him, he will hear us. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. Father, my heart breaks for Tristan. Father, I ask that you would be with him. Show him that you hear us, God. That the words that we planted in him, that the seeds would continue to grow. Your word says your word never returns void. And God, I stand on that today. Father, I pray that you would pour yourself into that home through Tristan, Father God, that he would say, even when he's praying for dinner, that your word would come forth, God, and that his mom and dad would come to know you. Because we don't want to see anybody not get saved. Satan, I bind you in that home right now. You have no right to be in there. You take your hands off that family. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We're continuing on this. Is it moved by the Spirit? Am I right? There we go. Had to make sure I got it right. And I was supposed to speak last week, got sick, and then when Pastor Aaron preached and I asked him, I said I would still like to come up and speak. I didn't know if he was going to give me the okay or not, but then he came back and said, I think we can make that work. But I'm thrilled to get to come up here and speak about something that when you work with kids, you don't get to speak as much on the Holy Spirit as you would like to. I think after I studied this week, or actually the last few weeks, that I will do more of that because I believe he can pour into them too. Amen. Let's start off. If you got your Bibles, you can open them. Acts chapter 1, 4 and 5. It says, once When he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." After Jesus was crucified, he went up 40 days. He went up, right? And as I studied this week, 10 days after, the Spirit was poured out on the disciples. And I always wondered, why did he wait so long? Why didn't he just do it right away? But then as I was studying, God was using those 10 days to unify his followers. He was bringing them together to prepare them for a new purpose. I believe in the church, and not just church, but all the churches, that fellowship and unity need to be in the church. Okay? If there's no fellowship and no unity, we've got nothing. I love what Pastor Aaron and Pastor Kelly do. They talk about prayer all the time, and they stand on that. And the things they teach, it's all out of the Bible. There's no fluff. There's so many churches that are teaching fluff nowadays. You feel good, tickle my ear, whatever. That should not be. And these two men that run this place, I love their hearts. But I believe also that God has a purpose for us. And through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he has a purpose for you. Amen? Just like the disciples, we need the Holy Spirit. Church, you need to seek the Holy Spirit. And not just once after you get him, but you need to be filled every day. Amen? You don't just get a little dabble, do you, anymore? You need him every day if you're going to live in this world. And if I know I need it, I know everybody needs it. Amen? The Holy Spirit will empower you to live the Christian life that God intends. It's the difference between struggling and thriving in your faith. For you to live the life that God wants you to live, or he intends for you to live, you need him badly. Because right now, with our walk that we have, when we go outside these doors, the world gets a lot tougher. When you come to this church, you have people to lean on, to love you, to pour into you, and we need that more than ever now. Even the disciples struggled. As I studied this week, John and Peter argued about who got to the tomb first. They were fearful, they were disoriented, and they loved arguing both amongst each other. Who was the greatest among them? But they had no power, though, until Pentecost. They had no power, but then the power came. And then came Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, they began to operate with Christ in them, empowered by the Spirit. And that's the whole thing. Christ in you, like Pastor Aaron said a little bit ago, Christ through you, you can pour out into people. We can't pour out into people if you don't have the Holy Spirit present in your life. Even I can't do that. I teach the little kids, and they look at me like, "What are you talking about?" But if I can just get a little bit in there, they'll grow. And I've seen it before. I've seen it before. Some of the kids downstairs are, and I love to see them. I love to see them grow, but I hate to see them leave, you know. They're like, "I'm going to youth," you know, just like Paisley. "I'm going to youth next year." "No, you're not," you know. And then I ask them, you know, "You don't want to go over there right away, do you?" But, you know, it's so neat because I'm going to use him for an example. Talon, Don and Helen, what a couple of grandparents. I got to brag on you. That kid was scared to death to go to youth. And to see what you guys have done in his life and poured into him, I thought he would have a problem going to youth, but he's never came back, you know? So, hey, that's awesome. That's awesome. Pentecost was considered the first revival church. It was the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and this empowered the apostles to preach the gospel to thousands, leading to conversion and the faith of the Christian church. When I was talking to Pastor Aaron, we were talking before church, and He told me four main points of the revival that you need to have. You need to have confession, repentance, salvation, and Holy Spirit baptism. Church, I've seen this church grow, and it's happening here. Okay? It's happening here. Don't ever stop. Don't ever quit. Because you guys are leading people to Christ. I see people that have been here for a while that are bringing new people. It's even making me think, man, I need to start getting my act together too, you know? But to see where we started from to where we are now, it's awesome to see new people in here and growing in the Lord. There was a revival years ago. I know some of the older people in here will probably remember that. Back in 1906 to 1915, there was a man named William Seymour, and he led the Azusa Street revival. As I studied that, there were some things that I just want to talk real quick, and then we'll move on. But this was the foundational experience for the modern Pentecostal movement. Their focus was baptism on the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, divine healing, and spontaneous worship. It broke down the segregationist norm of its time. They spread globally through missionaries, laying the groundwork for the major Pentecostal denomination. Sorry. As I read that, I was blown away. That's where it all started. It even says in that church they had boisterous worship in there. Now, if that ain't this church, I don't know what is. What got me was it was run down. It was started in a rundown livery stable on 312 Azusa Street. They focused, like I said, on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the intimate return of Christ. That's another thing this church talks about. They've been preaching about it for a long time, but if you're not looking around, he's coming back. I mean, I think he's closer than ever. I used to hear people say, yeah, he's coming back. And I'd say, oh, we got some time. We got nothing to worry about. We can do this or do that. But I believe he's so close that we can see it. Their worship featured continuous meetings, spontaneous prayer, preaching, and worship. Often was loud and boisterous, like I just was talking about. But what got me was the inclusivity welcomed people of all races. A lot of people say women can't serve in roles. This church did. And I'm thankful for women like Wendy, Cindy, Heidi, you guys that have stepped up, you guys that are getting filled with the Holy Spirit and stepping into your place. Pastor Aaron said last week, whether it's big or small, God still has a place for you. Okay? We're not here to occupy a seat. If you're here just to occupy a seat and nothing else, then you need to come up to the altar here and get right, because God has a reason for you. Doesn't matter how you are, what you look like, what you wear, whether you can read or not, he doesn't care. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you'll know it. Okay? The impact globally spread through missionaries that took it back to their countries. Their legacy was the birthplace of modern Pentecostal movement. Eventually started the Assemblies of God and the Church of God in Christ, which I didn't know that either. So that's just a little history, but people came from all over to see what was going on. But it says at the end of this, when I was studying, it said one thing that bothered me is there was a separation in that church at the end, and that was because there was a split of unity in the church, and part of them went one way and part of them went another. Matter of fact, they said there was like a mailing list, and some guy, I can't think of his name, Charles, I think was his name, I can't think of his last name, he took the list and took off. That's why I didn't really keep going, because there were so many people coming through, they couldn't get a hold of anybody to get out everything. So they split. And but that's just a little history there. I won't go any further. But Pentecost was the start of the church, I believe. The disciples had their power. Peter preached to 3,000 that day, and 3,000 were added to the church. And as we see today, that was the start of the church, was that right there. In Acts 1:8, says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me." When the Holy Spirit's on you, like I said, you will know it. But I underlined that word "you" twice. And that's just not just the pastors. That's not just Kelton and the worship team. That's all of you. Nobody here is greater than the next. Like Pastor Aaron said, none of us are perfect. We all have our flaws. I want you to realize one thing, and that is how important you are to this church. If we didn't have you, where would we be? Amen? If the Holy Spirit didn't have you, if Christ doesn't have you, where are you going to be? Amen? Peter preached and the church took off. This was the true church. Now we're getting into Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Let's go there real quick. I got it up there. "And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer." Now before we go to the second one, this is the true church, what I just read. This is a body of believers in Christ committed to the Word of God, the renewing of your mind. The word fellowship, there's a Greek word called koinonia. That means communion or partnership. We talked about that a second ago, the importance of people in this church being partnered together, not just in body, but in spirit. Okay? I want you to get that. Not just being here, but in spirit. They had a deep spiritual bond and sharing among believers who are united. There is unity among each other beyond social gatherings. But there must be fellowship and unity in the church. That is what makes the church strong, is that. And I love what we do here. Fellowship, we do dinners. The ladies in the women's ministry, they pour out what they do. That gets everybody together. You can pray. And I got to sit down and talk to Steve and Diana and Nicole the last dinner we had, and it was just nice to hear things that, not just bad things or sad things, but good things that are happening with Ethan and other things that are happening with the kids. Verse 43, "And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders." It talked about fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done. But they said they had a deep sense of awe. That was a deep sense of God's presence and power. So they were so moved by what they saw through the miracles and the pouring out. They were just blown away at what happened. Verse 44 to 45. "And the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had." All the believers met in one place and shared. This is the evidence of love. Don't hold on to things too tightly, church. This is what love is about in this church. That's one thing I love about this church, is the people that reach out. That is so important to know that when you leave here, there are people that are praying for you, that have your back, that if you need something, they will meet your need. There's no other greater church than, I think, Sunshine on the East Side. I heard a story. They'll probably shoot me. I'm not going to tell you who told me, but a guy told somebody in this church that this church has reached more people for Christ than any other church on the East Side. And when I heard that, I was blown out of the water. When you go down back to the old church, I think, wow, look where we came from. But then when I talked to somebody, we talked about the history of this church. It all started in like two different houses. So it just didn't start in one big building. It started in somebody's house. That's pretty incredible, you guys, to see what Christ has done. Amen. Like I said, you always meet the need. Your giving is amazing, church. Missions, the homeless, the parking lot, the Cuba dinner. Man, I was blown away on the Cuba dinner. Man, praise God on that. And then we'll get to see the fruits of that when we go next week. I'm looking so forward to that. Somebody was asking me earlier, I goes, Verl said, are you ready to go? I'm like, heck yeah. And it's not like a 24-hour flight either. I'm looking more forward to that too. So, yeah, pray for that. I'm praying for it. So, but verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. A healthy Christian community affects people for Jesus. What are you doing to affect your community for Jesus Christ? This church is one of a kind, you guys. One of a kind. The leadership in this church is one of a kind. And I believe they're going to lead us even into further down the road where we're going to see exponential growth that we've never seen. And that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that every seat in here will be filled. I heard last week it was filled because I was homesick, and I thought, whoa, maybe I'm glad I'm not here that Sunday. But especially when they had to do it with Raleigh, you know. They'd do that joint service. I don't know if I was ready for that, but I'm sure she would have helped me out. But keep listening to the needs of others, church, and keep praying for one another. You know, you don't just have to come to church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard years ago Joyce Meyer, she used to preach in her house and smoke cigarettes at the same time. No kidding. And she asked God to fill her with the Holy Spirit. She needed the Holy Spirit above anything else. And she said she was driving home one time in her car, and the Holy Spirit met her in the car. And she pulled over, and God filled her right there on the side of the road. Keep seeking Him, church. Without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to live and make it through. You're really not. We can try to fake it till you make it, and it doesn't work. Have the love of Christ in your heart. Be kind to one another. Let the Holy Spirit pour through you. Not just you in front of Him. Let Him speak. Because once I get Him out of my way, you know, I should rephrase that. That was kind of backwards, wasn't it? If I let Him have first place in my life, there we go, things will never go wrong. He'll tell you what to say to those people that you're speaking to. Because that's what we're supposed to do, reach people for Christ, right? We're not here just to take up chairs, have fellowship, and have dinners. When we leave at the church is when it starts. I fully believe that. In verse 47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Through the biblical teaching and to the fellowship, worship, and prayer, and to the seeking of the Holy Spirit, God will keep blessing. I've said it before, I'll say it again, that this church does that. I'm so proud of the pastor that I follow. I am very much, you know, we talked about the kids coming up for worship, and the kids enjoyed it so much. I said, well, just start staying up there and then just come down. They enjoyed it so much, some of them didn't come down. Okay? Or if I come back here and I only get five downstairs, I'd come up here and I'd look and I'd see little kids sitting in here. And they were like, well, go get them. I'm not going to go up there and tell that parent, hey, I need your kid downstairs. I understand these kids in their hearts. I know that I came from a divorced home, but Christ worked a miracle in my life, and He can work one in theirs too. Amen. And so I would just let them sit up here, because when they come from divorced homes, I used to sit on the front step of my house, and I'm not saying bad about my father because the things that happened at that time were what they were. But my brother and I, we'd sit on the front steps, and my mom would tell me my dad's coming. And sometimes he wouldn't show up. And it broke my heart. But when I got to see him, I stayed by his side. So I understand why you have grandkids sitting in here. I know that. I get emotional sometimes, but that's just the way I am. But keep pouring out, church. Keep listening to Pastor Aaron and Pastor Kelly and your teachers. We got some of the best that's ever, I believe, any church around here. I thank them. I'm so thankful for Aaron and Wendy, Kelly and Heidi for leading us and where their vision is. I've never doubted your vision, not once, or Kelly's. I believe you're taking us in where we need to be. Amen. And I'm going to close with this. I don't know how long I've gone. Maybe not long enough, huh? You know me, I'm always short. But I want to tell you a story, and then I'm going to I'll close with this. Kelton, you come up if you want to. One, keep pursuing the Holy Spirit, church, and keep reaching people for Christ. Those are the two biggest things that you need to be doing. But there was a story about a father and a son, and the father gave his son a pocket watch, and he cherished that watch like no other. And he held on to it real tight. Well, his dad had an ice block factory, and where the ice was, there was a lot of sawdust around, which kept the ice from getting stuck together. And he loved to go in there and play in that room. And while he was playing around one time, he dropped the watch. And he couldn't find it. And he started getting he got anxiety real bad. He was searching frantically for this thing. And he kept looking and looking and looking, and he couldn't find it. And then once he'd come to the end of himself, he got himself calmed down, and he sat down, and he leaned against one of these ice blocks. And as he got calm, he could hear the tick. And he found the watch. You know, as we were worshiping up here, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that's what we need to do. We need to get quiet. Because he doesn't talk loud, but he talks real soft. He won't push himself on you. You've got to want him. Okay? You have to want him. That's all that he wants. He just wants your heart, church. And if you give it to him, he'll change it forever. I know he did me. I've seen multiple kids go into youth. Noah, the other Noah. And I've seen lives changed, even the kids down there. I'm so thankful for Christy down there with the youth and what you're doing with these guys. And pouring into the youth, because I hate to see kids come to church. They go through kids' church, and then they go to youth, and then they walk out the door, and their life was never changed. And I believe if we don't pour into our kids, and it starts at your house, but then we just get to finish up. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. And even I need to step it up in that area too, because I need him just as bad as you. Amen? I just want to thank you for the time that you guys have given me. I don't get to do this very often, but when I do, I enjoy it. And I just want to thank you for letting me speak. But I just want to take a second and have everybody just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'll close with this. Nobody looking around. I tell my kids downstairs, I've got one kid's got his eyes open. And I tell him, keep your eyes closed, no looking around. If you're here and you need the Holy Spirit, we prayed about miracles earlier. But if you need the Holy Spirit, I want you to raise your hand. Because he's ready to pour into you. If you'll search with him with all your heart, you'll find him, church. The Bible says it. But you've got to get quiet enough to hear him and let him in. Father, I just thank you for these, Father God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just pour into them now. Father, give them the power to come after you, Father God, because they need the power that you have to give. Father, we need you more than ever. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We thank you for being here. I ask that you would just be with each one today, Father God. Guide and protect, and just be with us. Give us the words to speak, Father God, to people, to reach for you. In your name I pray. Amen.
The true earmarks of revival weren't contained within the group. The true earmarks of revival spread to the community, city, and globally. I love what the Spirit of God is doing here. But church, we haven't even tapped in to what God wants to do. And so we as a body of believers, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. That's important. Humbling yourself before the Lord. You come in with a haughty spirit, God can't use that. He will demonstrate his power through you in weakness. Meekness and humility before the Lord are important. And then what I believe we're going to start hearing, we're going to know the evidence that God wants to really move, is we're going to start hearing stories of people coming into this church saying, you never believe what God did this week. Not what he did in church on Sunday, but what he is actively doing in you and through you outside of the four walls of this church. That's going to be the evidence that God, he's up to something special. And we have just submitted ourselves to the Lord enough that we're seeing him move. And so I want to encourage you that as you're praying for the Spirit to move upon you, align your week with God. Wake up your thoughts, your intents. It's all God. What do you want for my life today? Centering your day on who God and how God can use you that day. Praying to him, reading your word. It's so important. There's only so much God's going to do in this room if our hearts are far from him outside of it. So that's important for you. Sometimes we like, man, I expected a huge altar this Sunday. Why didn't we have a huge altar call? Make the altar in your home. Make the altar in your home. I want to see God move, church, and I'm desperate for it. But we have to align our lives with the Lord. And so I encourage you to go in peace, seeking God. You know, the day of Pentecost, they were waiting in the upper room for 10 days. 10 days seeking the Lord. Americans barely give God 2 hours. 10 days. We have to be able to invite God into our lives everywhere we go. And then that's when we'll start to see testimony after testimony after testimony of what God is doing. You got to give it to him every day. Are you with me, church? Amen. So